During the month of September, I've chosen to read from a variety of the translations. First week was the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB. Second week was the New American Standard, the NASB. And then today, the NIV, the New International Version, and that's pretty familiar to all of us because we read from that a great deal. Next Sunday, I'll be reading from one that we rarely use, but as I have learned with people coming in to purchase it, the English Standard Version, ESV, has become very, very popular, particularly, Molly, with young adults. Don't know whether you're familiar with the ESV. I have people come in, late teens, early 20s. Yes, what can I help you do? I'd like to find a Bible. You have a particular translation? Well, I want the ESV. So we'll be reading from that next week, and you will find that it just doesn't sound any different at all. And so we read today from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. Paul wrote both of these. But mark this, he says to Timothy, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. And then he wrote to the Roman church. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Some pretty discouraging words. But may God bless our reading of His Word, and may God bless our hearing of this Word. Now, as you see, in looking at that scripture, there's just so much in there that is wrong, so many things that we could talk about. In that first group, I jumped right in there and picked out boastful. In that second group, I jumped right in there and picked out boastful. So that's what we're going to talk about. And the title is Conceited Who, Me? I'm just telling you what I do. I'm telling you who I am. I'm telling you I'm great. I'm boastful. Well, I always like to quote Dr. Billy Graham, because the way he expresses things is so much plain talk, so easy for anyone to understand. And that's true, the way he has put things in so many of his sermons and in the writing of his books. And all of us are blessed because so much of his plain talk has been preserved in writing for us and for future generations. I took a few minutes several days ago to run through the the titles of his books, as many as I could find in a listing that I found from 2011, 6 years ago, and I counted over 30 books. And in the past 6 years, I know of at least three or four more, including one just released just a little over a year ago, titled Where I Am, Heaven, Eternity, and Our Life Beyond. And it was given to me by a friend here at Bosque Del Church. Now, in 2006, he wrote The Journey, in which he wrote this simple but very profound sentence. Pride flees when we compare ourselves to God instead of to other people. Pride just goes away when we compare ourselves to God. Pride is something that typically grows up in us as we reach up and we reach out and achieve something on which some people or society itself has placed some value. And pride has a way of increasing as we see ourselves as the reason for this achievement. That's where pride is. I'll just put it in personal terms just for this explanation. And I don't mean this to be me. But this is where pride grows and flourishes. I'm just going to use I. I have achieved this. And I have done this best. And I want full and proper recognition. So if you don't want to be a prideful person, keep a lid on achieving. No, that is not true. That is not true. We are to do our best. We are to strive to achieve. We're to work to have the best result. And that's very consistent with the Word of God. Here's a word for you. A word that you know, 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to please God, to be a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. Do your best to be a worker that pleases God. Timothy's work for which he was to do his best was to be a preacher, teacher of the truth of God. And so Paul added, teach the message of truth correctly. Right. To echo Paul's admonition to Timothy to do his best at the work he was to do, once again, I found good insight in another book by Billy Graham, The Secret of Happiness, which he wrote in 1955 when I was a young teen. About succeeding, about achieving. The young but wise Billy, who was not yet Dr. Graham, wrote this: where do we get the notion that our idea of success and God's are the same? You have written a book. You're a clever manager and promoter. You're a talented artist. You're independently wealthy. You've achieved fame and fortune. Without the gifts of intelligence, imagination, personality, and physical energy, which are all endowed by God, where would you be? That'll preach. Years later, Dr. Graham added to that insight about how God rates our success with a very large poster on a wall at his training center in North Carolina, The Cove. He said, God measures people by the small dimensions of humility and not by the bigness of their achievements or the size of their capabilities. So, go all out. Knock the top off. Become the best. But do it humbly and clearly to the glory of God who put that best achiever in you. No boasting about how great you are. No conceit that your achievements are all yours. Now, as strange as it may seem, and truly interesting to consider, the word boast, you know, what we're not supposed to be doing, can, however, mean to praise or to honor. The concept of boasting is used in the Bible in a good sense, but only as we boast not of ourselves, but of our God. And here are a couple of examples from the Old Testament and a couple from the New Testament. Psalm 44:8. In God we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. Jeremiah 4:2. As surely as the Lord lives, then the nations will invoke blessings by him, and in him they will boast. And in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 1:14. Paul writes, I hope that, as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. And Romans 5:11. We also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. On the other hand, being conceited enough to be boastful is also used biblically and far more prevalently in a bad sense. In fact, the words boast, boasting, boastful are at least in 93 verses throughout the Bible. That is in the NIV. And by far, most of the times that it's used in a very negative context. Since there are so many verses of negativity, I'll just give you one, and Psalm 12:2 is a very typical one. May the Lord silence all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. So the word boast may be used to praise God, to praise others, or to brag unduly on yourself. And our concern is to deal today with the harmful and damaging negativity of conceit, that prideful boasting, that singing of your own praises, egotism directed itself toward you rather than to rejoice in achievements as God-given, God-provided to your life, for you to pass on for the enrichment of others in Jesus' name, not for your conceit. Other words that belong in that same general category with that negative kind of boasting are pride, vanity, arrogance, haughtiness, pomposity. And there are more similar words, but I think that's enough. You get the picture. These words describe a spirit that is abhorrent, that is repulsive to the Lord. And none of these words should characterize a Christian. They're the opposite of the good and godly mindset of humility and meekness and sincerity and truth. Well, who is the conceited person who is guilty of boasting? Well, let's start with the really, really wrong guys. Religious leaders are often guilty of boasting. Religious bigotry was very pronounced in Jesus' day, and it still is today. The people, and especially the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees of the nation of Israel before Jesus came, were among the chief offenders of being boasters, because they were the chosen of God and the beneficiaries of his special covenant blessings. They considered themselves above others, and the leaders even felt that they were above the other Jews. In their vanity, they became proud, boastful, and exclusive in their conceited self-centeredness. And they failed in their assignment. They failed in the mission God had given to them to represent God to the nations. God sent his prophets to plead with them, to warn them against the spirit of boasting, but to no avail. And Zephaniah 3:11 is a very good example. It reads, on that day you, Jerusalem, will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you have done to me, because I will remove from you your arrogant boasters. Never again will you be haughty on my holy hill. As a result of their self-centeredness, they were oppressed then by foreign governments and taken into very long-term captivity. Then in humility, a beaten people, they finally returned to their God-given land. And so Jesus came. And among the messages from God he brought were his accusations against the arrogant, conceited haughtiness of the religious leaders as boastful hypocrisy. And Jesus spoke often of the prevalence of this boastful hypocrisy. He spoke with and to their supposed models, their leaders. Matthew chapter 6 records some of his first accusations of the boastful hypocrisy of those vaunted religious leaders. 6:2. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. And then verse 5, this is in chapter 6. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. In Luke 20, chapter 20, verses 46 and 47, he warned the people. He said, beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jesus often taught by parables. And he taught this parable that has to do with boasting, with conceit, and with self-righteousness. This is from Luke chapter 18. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. He knew who he was talking to. So he tells this story. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people, cheaters and sinners and adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus made it plain. The spirit of self-righteous boasting is repulsive to the Heavenly Father. But you know, us religious leaders aren't the only ones. The wealthy and famous are also really often guilty of outright conceit and boasting. Some, not a few, wealthy, famous, successful people who have fame and success thrust upon them are given to boasting and pride and bigotry and vain conceit. But people who have earned their wealth and fame and success seem to be more humble about it. And there are usually less traces of conceit in them because they know it took real work to get to where they are. Hear what the Bible has to say about boasting in riches. Deuteronomy 6. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build. Houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide. Wells you did not dig. And vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Realize, he said, the source of your good life, your new good life. God's word reminds them, don't get to thinking and boasting it was you who did this. The book of James knows what the rich and successful are tempted to think of themselves. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what happens tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You see, his insightful word brings these smug entrepreneurs back down to earth. You think you personally know where to go and what to do? Why, you're nothing but a short-appearing mist. And then he gives them the real, the clear, the true picture. He tells it like it is supposed to be. Verse 15, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this and that. And then he wraps up the truth, the true picture, with verse 16. And this is in James 4. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. You see, there is real danger in riches and fame and success, lest a man forget his Lord and what the Lord has given to him, his friends, and the causes of Christ, such as the poor. And lest in forgetting the Lord, he shuts himself up. He shuts himself off from others to live too exclusively a life of self-indulgence and false conceit. Boasters, conceited people like religious leaders and the rich and famous that I've just talked about. Before we get through, let's not forget the class of foolish sinners who join those first two classes and are also guilty of boasting. And there's little or no hope for proud, boastful sinners. From the wisdom of the Proverbs, Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 26:5, answer a fool according to his folly, or he be wise in his own conceit. Proverbs 26:12, do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them. And then from the Psalms, Psalm 10:3. He boasts about the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 94, 3 and 4. The psalmist said, how long, Lord, will the wicked... How long will the wicked be jubilant? They pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers are full of boasting. So there you have it. There isn't much hope for persons I will call the conceited ones, such as the wayward religious leaders, the rich and the famous, and the class of boastful sinners. Unless among other sins, they repent of their sin of conceit and prideful boasting and turn to Christ for forgiveness and salvation and then give him the glory for any successes that they may have. Amen. Now, should a Christian boast? Well, I think obviously there are times when Christians should not boast. Christians should not boast because of this. We Christians live and are saved by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have life. We have salvation, not because of ourselves. It is because, well, Ephesians 2:8-9 has said it so well. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Christians should not boast because we do not know what tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow, will bring our way. As we're told in Proverbs 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. But at other times, Christians should boast. As I would use the word boast properly, that is to boast in the Lord. Two references from the Psalms. Psalm 34:2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and rejoice. And Psalm 44:8. In God, we make our boast all the day long, and we will praise your name forever. Now, Christian brothers and sisters of Bosquedale Baptist Church, we are counseled by God's holy word to guard against conceit, to guard against pride and self-righteousness and self-importance and vanity. In all things, then, let us beware of boasting unless it is in God. Boasting then with pride in the truly correct sense of the word, boasting in our God who through our Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us, provides for us, and strengthens us from day to day. Our watchword for the day, Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. May God bless us. Amen.